Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
The second feature of religious followership is knowing much of God's word, but not taking action on it now. Knowing much of God's word, but not taking action on it now. In other words, if you know the word of God, you must take action on it now and not wait for tomorrow. Matthew chapter 23 and then verse 3b, it says what? The whole of verse 3 says, therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they say and do not do. It means that they say the right thing, but practically in their lives, they do not do it. That is something that you are going to see if you are a believer. You see people who know the word of God, but who do not do what they know. You look into their lives, and what word of God that they know, that they talk about, you don't practically see it in their lives. It's like, do what I say, don't do what I do. That is religious followership. So you can quote a lot of scripture, know a lot of scripture, but if you are not a doer, then you are a religious follower of God. But it should not be so. Jesus brought the kingdom of God, and he wants us to be kingdom followers. So religious followership is knowing much of God's word, you know, but not taking action on it now. The thing about religion is that it always postpones things into the future. Religion always postpones good things into the future. They say that the bad can come, but as for good, it is going to be in the sweet by and by. You know, the suffering can come, but as for enjoyment, it should not come. It should not come. In other words, on this earth, we must suffer, but and then wait for maybe the kingdom future in order to enjoy. But that is the heart of religion. Religion always postpones good things to the future, and it always hopes for the great future that God has prepared for us. And it hopes for it at the expense of God's will being done on earth now, as it is in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to understand that the kingdom of God has a future dimension, but it has a present dimension as well. That is why Jesus Christ said that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is a present a rendition of an issue, you know, for this is the kingdom of God. English will say this is a preposition. In other words, it shows you the position of something, you know. So it positions the word of God for us. It positions the kingdom of God for us, I should say. The kingdom of God is positioned now, not just in future. It has a future dimension, but it has a present dimension. That is why he said for theirs is the kingdom of God, not theirs will be the kingdom of God in the sweet by and by. Hallelujah. So we need to bear this one in mind, that if the kingdom of God has a present dimension, in other words, God wants us to enjoy the future Have a taste of it. Wonderful. That's the proper way of putting it. Taste the future. Because if you don't taste it, if you don't taste something, you can't eat it. In fact, normally what we do when we are offered something new, you know, is that you taste it before. Sometimes you smell it to see whether it's okay before you gulp it down. You know, so God wants us to taste the kingdom and taste it and see that it is good, so that we can have an idea of, if I start to gulp it down, I start to eat, how much the thing will be a blessing unto me, or how much I will enjoy. If you taste and it's not good, you discard the food. You say, I don't like it. It's the same with the kingdom of God. God brought the kingdom of God so that we would taste. Presently, the Bible says, of the powers of the world to come. There is a world to come. But God wants us to taste of it now. In the nasty now and now. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you will not know how to even walk in heaven. True. I think that, especially for people in this part of the world, Southern Hemisphere, I sometimes I'm inclined to think how we will be like in heaven. You know, because you can be so used to not enjoying good things in such a way that when you are suddenly given a good thing, you say, I don't like it. Or you be in a certain corner. You understand what I mean? Yeah, it's true. You see, you can go to heaven and God will tell you that this is your mansion, and instead of enjoying the mansion, you'll be sleeping in a little corner because you are so used to, you haven't tasted good things, so you don't know even how to make use of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, all that we are doing on this earth is to prepare for heaven. If heaven is a wonderful place, in preparing for a wonderful place, you must have a wonderful place now, so that you can enjoy that wonderful place in future. Hallelujah. So we should not postpone the word of God into the future. We should not postpone good things that God wants us to enjoy into the future. God has a wonderful future for us, and we should enjoy it now. Hallelujah. If the future of God is good, that's His will for us in future, then His will for us now should also be good. Otherwise, God has changed. But the Bible says that God does not change. And so if His will tomorrow is your health, then His will today is your health. Then His will yesterday when you got sick is your health. It's not possible that His will today is that you are sick and then in future His will is that you are well. Then God has changed and His will has changed. But God's will does not change. What God wants us to enjoy in the sweet by and by, we should enjoy it today. Hallelujah. Let's take it a step further. You know, there are people who always talk about the good old days. The good old days where God used them. The good old days where they were very anointed. The good old days where they were blessed. What about now? What about now? What we are learning today is that kingdom followership enjoins that you do the word of God now and not postpone it into the future. You see? So, it is religious followers who glory in the past, those days. My question is, what about now? God is a now God. He is a present God. I remember the story in John chapter 11 where Jesus Christ, Lazarus, had been 3 days dead or so, and then Jesus Christ, his attention was brought to it, and he told one of the people, I think Martha or so, that your brother will rise up. And Martha said that, oh Lord, I know that he will rise up in the last day. I know that he will rise up in the last day. And Jesus said, look, I am. Can we all say I am? He didn't say I will be the resurrection. He says I am the resurrection and the life. What Martha, is it Martha good? But what she was doing was that she was postponing a good thing into the future. But Jesus had come with a kingdom system, and he said that, look, you don't have to wait for the future to enjoy resurrection and the life. You must, or you can enjoy it now, because I am the resurrection and the life. He said, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the works of God? Oh Lord, I know that in the last day, in the sweet by and by, the dead shall all rise. And Jesus says, no, I am. Presently, now, you can experience me. So we have to be careful that we do not behave like Martha, who postpone miracles into the future, who postpone wonderful things into the future. The good old days is what I was talking about. Jesus Christ wants us to enjoy now. He wants us to do his word now. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no right time to do the right thing. If something is right, it should be done. If something is right, unless it is not right, if it is right, you can't postpone the right thing to another time. If something is right, it should be done now. Let us not glory in the past, because you see, what God cares about most is not how he used you last Sunday. It's how he wants to use you now, or how he is using you now. Let me give you a scenario. You can be so anointed of God like Judas. You can go and cast out devils, because he was one of the people whom Jesus Christ sent in Luke chapter 9 to go and deal with the devil and all that. He went to do all those things, but what was the end of Judas? He betrayed him. So what will God say? Will God say that, well, if I look at your track record and I look at your history, then I should accept you, although now you have denied me? No. It is how you end that shows your position with God. Because you can begin well and end badly. On the other hand, you can begin badly and end well. So the present is important to God. What are we doing for God now? Is the question I want to ask you. Because sometimes you can postpone and say that, well, Pastor, I have wonderful plans for God. You have plans for God. Pastor, there are things that I have put down in my vision to do tomorrow, to do when I finish school, to do when I have time. I have a vision for God. I have a dream. You know, you can say that. But God is not going to look at your dreams. He's going to look at what you are doing now. What you are doing now. So if you have any dream of doing something that will be in your to the benefit of God and his kingdom on this earth, do it now. Don't let the devil deceive you to think that when I finish school, then I'll do it. If I get time, I will do it. Ladies and gentlemen, we may not get that time. Do you understand that? You may not get that time. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the time that God has given you. Please, whatever you have to do, which is in the word of God, which is a good thing, don't say it and then we don't see it in your life. Do it now. Do it now. The Bible says that he reward us according to our works, not according to our vision. Because all of us, including even unbelievers, they have wonderful plans for God. And they can talk about to you about it.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
But the question I want us to end this session with is, what am I doing? Look into your life. What am I doing now? What word of God do I know which I am not doing now, which I say that it should wait when I finish my exams, it should wait when I'm in the university, it should wait when I'm working, it should wait when I go on pension, it should wait. No, whatever thing you know from the word of God, please do it now, now, because you may not have tomorrow. What religion does is that it postpones things into the future and tells you that when you get time, you can do it. Now you don't have time. Please don't deceive yourself. It can be done. God will not show you something that you cannot do it now. You can do it in a certain form now, in a certain way now. You can lay the infrastructure down now. You can build the foundation now. Hallelujah. By all means, let us not behave like these Pharisees that Jesus Christ decried, and he told the multitude that look at them. They sit in Moses' seat. What they say is not what they do. So don't do what they do. Do what they say. Because Jesus is not excited by the kind of scriptures that you can quote but which you do not see in your life. You claim that we should love God with all that, but you don't do that. You claim that whatever, God's word. And you don't see it in your life. Love your enemy. You don't see you loving your enemies, even your friends, even those who are helping you. You are crucifying them. You are minimizing them. You are pushing them down. How much more your enemies? People in this church who pray for you secretly, you don't know how people are laboring for you because they don't come and tell you that, look, this is what I'm doing for you. You take those people and you criticize them. They have not insulted you before. They have not stolen your money before. They have given to you. They have blessed you. They have lived well for you. Yet you shoot your mouth against them and you push them down and you minimize them. How much more your enemies? Hallelujah. Let us not be religious followers who push things into the future. I will do it. Like the proverbial vulture. I will build my house when the rain is over. The rain is over, the storm is gone, it takes flight to go and look for baller to enjoy. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. So Jesus Christ says something in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. He said, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Wow. He meant now. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it's a good thing that God's will happens on this earth, let us not postpone it into the future. Let us have a taste of it now. If it's a good thing that we are healthy as Africans, let us not push it into the future. Let us enjoy it now. If it's a good thing for us to prosper, let us not push it into the future. Let us taste of the prosperity to come now, so that when we go to heaven, we can wear all the different types of shoes. Because we are used only one shoe today. When you see plenty shoes, you feel like throwing. Because it's not normal. We have to get normal with the word of God. We have to do the word of God now because it will never, never pass away. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. The Lord is good. Let's look at the third feature of religious followership that the Lord Jesus Christ decried, which we should also avoid. He was speaking to the multitude and his disciples in Matthew 23 verse 1. He was speaking to followers, how to follow him. And he's teaching them. In verse 4, Jesus said, "For they," talking about religious people, "bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Wow. Says that what the religious leaders do is that they put heavy burden on people. They bind heavy load on people, lay them on their shoulders, but they will not help them to carry it. Jesus said, this one is not good. So, a religious disciple or follower carries unreasonable burden. They are put on their shoulders. There is something on their head. Every religious follower carries unreasonable burden. And they don't get any help anywhere. The wonderful thing is that, you see, you can carry things in such a way that your neck becomes used to the weight. Because you carry it to run, you carry it to eat, you carry it even when you are giving a lift. You carry the loads on your head. Why? Because you are so used to it. The system, the religious order has put a weight on you and you feel good with the weight. When the weight is taken off your head, you feel abnormal. You feel that you have sinned. You feel that somebody has done you wrong. So you go and collect your weight and you put it on your head because you feel like you must carry your own load. That's a religious follower. Wow. Let me take it this way. The burden that the people put on the religious leaders was the burden of the law of Moses, over 600 of them, 10 main ones. Jesus came to make it one, and he fulfilled it for us. Love. Hallelujah. But the burden that a religious follower carries is the law of Moses. Bible says in Romans chapter 7 verse 12, let's turn to that, that the Lord is holy, the law is holy, and it is good. The law is holy, and it is good. If it is true that the law is holy and it is good, then what makes it an unreasonable weight on mankind? It was Romans 7 verse 12. Therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. But what makes it an unreasonable burden is that human beings do not have the system to carry it. In other words, we do not have the disposition to obey it.
That is why it becomes unreasonable. If there is a one-year-old who cannot sprint, you know, or let's say a two-month-old who cannot sprint, who cannot walk fast, and you demand for him to walk fast, although walking is good for a human being, yet it becomes an unreasonable burden on the two-month-old to demand that he walks and walks fast or to sprint. That is how the law is in relation to us. The same Romans 8 verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law is unreasonable because the human system, the human mechanism, fallen mechanism, is not able to handle the law. That is why it becomes an unreasonable burden. But the Pharisees heaped the full weight of the law on their followers, and they will not offer any help to alleviate its devastating demands. Wow. And human beings like it. I tell you. Do you know why human beings like the law? When the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 verse 3 that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all those who believe. Human beings like weight. They don't like things to be done for them. They feel like they must do their own thing and their own righteousness and their deserve what God wants to give them. They want to carry the weight and the punishment of their lives. That is how come people find it difficult to forgive themselves. When the Bible says, oh hallelujah, when the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, is it 11, 12, that their sins and their, oh hallelujah, and their unrighteous deeds I will remember no more. What can be as simple to understand as this? He repeats it in Hebrews 10, 17 or so. Their sins and their, oh hallelujah, and their unrighteous deeds I will remember no more. Human beings, they jack up and say, how? I did it. How come you don't remember? He says that blessed are those whose sins are not imputed upon them. He says, how come? You must put it on me. I did it. You have to be just. I deserve it. Wow. It was put upon somebody. Somebody carried your sin until he became sin. That is why it is not proper for you to pay your own price for something that somebody has paid the price for. Just acknowledge that the debt has been paid and my books are clean. I don't have debt sitting on my heavenly accounts. Why? Because somebody graciously overpaid, not just paid, he overpaid for your debt, because Jesus is an overpayment for the sins of mankind, past, present, and future, and all the consequences of the sin. He is an overpayment. So what he did on the cross for us, it is more than we can carry. It is not the type you can carry alone. That's why he says, go out there and let everybody know that there is enough, there is room for you at the cross. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to create room for every sinner, including even Peter, who denied me 3 times with cursing and swearing. When I have revealed myself on the Mount of Transfiguration, when I have been with you, you are able to deny me. Not once, you say it's a mistake. 2x, 3x. And you didn't just do it, but you were cursing on top of it. You were saying, if I know him, let lightning strike me. The Bible didn't tell us the details of the curse, but the Bible did tell us that he denied with cursing and swearing. Jesus told him, this is what you are going to do for me, but let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Because the place that he prepares is in him. So that wherever he is, there we are. There is room at the cross. Because right after he said that, in John chapter 14, he went to the cross to go and die. He was going to the cross to prepare a place for people who deny him, for all human beings, the vilest sinner, the vilest offender, because he is an overpayment. All that we have to acknowledge is that he has paid the price. The Bible says that he has blotted out the handwriting of offenses that was contrary to us, that was against us. He took our death. He nailed it to the cross. The Bible puts it this way, Colossians chapter 2, that he took it out of the way. So there is nothing in your way. It's an imaginary thing. You think there is something in your way. It's an imaginary load. There is nothing on your head. You better put the load down and know that in Christ Jesus, you do not have to carry any burden. He said that they bind heavy burdens, put them on men's shoulders. They themselves will not lift up a finger to take it from them. And he says that no, this is not how it should be. Because in kingdom followership, you do not carry any burden. You came
from heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at Number 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name on.